We're getting going with our lesson. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So today we're doing the last fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Anybody know? Nope. Faith was 2 weeks ago. That was last week. Yes, temperance. Anybody ever watch Bones? The TV show Bones?
Oh, I've seen that. I actually was going to watch it with you eyes, but I actually didn't.
It's a good show, but the main character's name is Temperance.
We watched Castle instead.
I've seen a couple of episodes of that. I didn't really get into it. Bones is good. But her name's Temperance. They call her Tempe. Or they just call her Bones most of the time. But anyways, so Temperance. Anybody know what Temperance means?
Patience.
Kind of patience, a little bit. Yeah.
Hold your temper.
Hold your temper, yeah. So what's another way to describe that?
Not hitting the kids in the car on the way here.
Mature.
Yes, if you don't do that, what might you possess?
Integrity. Deep breaths.
Yes, self-control. That's a good... Self-control is a good synonym. Moderation would be another synonym for temperance. So it's only three times in the whole Bible. All three times in the New Testament. Acts 24, Galatians 5, and then 2 Peter chapter 1, which we're going to look at here in just a little bit. So, all of the fruit of the Spirit are difficult in, to some degree. Like, all of us maybe have difficulty with, you know, some of them more than others. Maybe some of them come easier to you. But self-control is one of those that I feel like is probably difficult for most of us, maybe all of us. Partially because of the world that we live in is just not a, we don't live in a culture that is like designed for us to be to have self-control. Like it's just get whatever you want, whenever you want, as fast as you can get it, as much as you can have. If you don't have enough money to buy it, borrow the money. You know, all those kinds of things. Like this like consumer mentality, the consumer mindset that we have. There's really not hardly anything that we can't get almost as fast and as much as we want. And so it's difficult to maintain a level of self-control and moderation when it comes to, you know, a lot of different things. So, we also don't do a very good job in our culture of being uncomfortable. Like, discomfort is not something that we are really super familiar with. Like, I mean, all of us have had times where we are uncomfortable. We have to do things that we don't like to do. But, for the most part, like, as far as, like, societally as a whole, we don't really have to deal with a lot of discomfort the way that previous generations did. I mean, just like in your grandparents' generation, or even in your parents' generation, you know, discomfort was like part of normal life. Like you just didn't get what you wanted when you wanted it all the time. And obviously, you know, the internet and technology has expanded so fast that, you know, a lot of things that were not possible 20 years ago are possible now. So for your whole lifetime, you've not really had to deal with discomfort on a societal level the same way that previous generations did. My generation really hasn't dealt with it a ton either. But, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, it was, you know, so much different. And so it becomes more and more difficult to have self-control, to you know, practice being uncomfortable, to do things that we don't want to do. Those kinds of things are very countercultural for us because it just goes against everything that, society teaches us. And so having self-control is not really about, you know, just like powering through, you know, difficult and hard circumstances. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily just put your head down and just go through difficult times and embrace the suck and all those kinds of things. It can be that to a degree, but, you know, it's not about like making yourself miserable just to say that, you know, I have self-control and I can put myself in uncomfortable situations. That's not really the purpose behind it. It's not really the goal of self-control is not to be miserable. It's to just be able to be in control of your decisions, to be in control of your body, be in control of your mind. You know, not allowing other things outside of you to have that control over you. And so, I mean, you guys know how like, you know, algorithms work on apps and things like that. They're designed to, you know, like, get you to want to consume more subconsciously. And like, whether it's reels, whether it's different, little, you know, games on your phone, like all these different things are designed to get you to spend more time doing that thing, maybe spend more money on, that thing. And so just little things like that, just having the self-control to be able to, you know, stop doing that thing, You know, people always used to say, like, with, I mean, like, in my generation, it was smoking. You know, then they would say, like, oh, I could quit whenever I wanted to. And it's like, okay, well, then try to quit and just see what happens. And a lot of people couldn't quit whenever they wanted to. They thought that they were in control of their cigarette smoking habit. But the truth was they really were not in control of it. It was in control of them. They craved the nicotine. You know, I've noticed that with myself with, like, caffeine. You know, if I don't have caffeine for a day, I start to get a headache. Well, why? Well, because I'm, you know, addicted to caffeine. You know, try to put away your phone or Instagram or Snapchat or, you know, like, whatever the thing is. Try to do without that for a day or 2 days or maybe 3 hours. You know, like, try and go without those things, and you start to find out, oh, maybe I'm not as much in control of this as I thought I was. And so, you know, it's maybe an eye-opening experience to realize that you're not as much in control as you think you are. But yeah, just to test it, like, try to go without that thing for a period of time and see how much control it has over you. So when we talk about all these different fruits of the Spirit, most of them, a lot of them, are not easy things to do. It's not easy to love everybody. It's not easy to have joy in difficult circumstances. It's not easy to be peaceful in a time period where, you know, things are not always peaceful. You can't be at peace even in your own mind sometimes. All these different fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about, none of them is really easy. Some may come easier than others, but how do we obtain these different fruit of the Spirit that we've talked about? How do we get them? They're not easy to get, but where do they come from? What does it take? I don't know how many more ways I can ask the question. Somebody else has to say something. Yes. What did we talk about the first week when we talked about this? We spent a lot of time in John chapter 15. Yes, Jesus is the answer. John 15. What was the theme of that? What we talked about? John 15. Huh? Yes. What do we have to do to the vine? Or with the vine?
Probably grow it, yeah. Water it, make sure it's treated, make sure it's on the right soil.
Abide in the vine.
Okay.
Abide in the vine. We talked about it. Like two different, yeah, walk in the Spirit, abide in the vine. Like, so we have to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time with Him. And the more time we abide with Christ, the more time, like Brenda said, we walk in the Spirit, those things will become easier for us. They're not natural to our flesh, but they are natural to our spirit. And so the more we feed the Spirit, those things will come more naturally to us. So you'll find yourself able to love people that you previously would not have wanted to love. You will be able to have joy in a difficult situation. And it doesn't mean that you're happy about the situation. It just means that you know that this is temporary, but the joy that I have is eternal because I have eternal life. And you can look beyond things that are happening in the present, and you can have a bigger picture because your perspective has changed. It's not as much focused on you and your life and your time period on this earth. It's focused on big picture. How can I have an impact? That's the name of this series. How can I have an impact on the people around me? And so it's not just about what I'm going through or what I'm dealing with. It's about others around me. And how can I maintain that light? How can I be the light to my group of friends, to my school, to my workplace, to my family, whoever, like, that you're around that needs the light? Like, how can I be that? And I'm not even talking about just lost people. You can be around your family and they're already saved, but you can still be a light that, you know, when you go through something difficult, your family's going to identify that the way that you're handling it is different than the way they're handling it. Maybe because you are more spiritually mature, you are walking in the Spirit, you are abiding in Christ, and that makes it easier to go through these things. So how do we get self-control? Is that we abide in Christ, like the same way we get all of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's the last one. I don't know if that's because, you know, maybe it's one of the more difficult ones to get. But, you know, it's difficult to have control of ourself, but we only get that by abiding in Christ. And so, you know, if you deal with a particular sin in your life, or you deal with a particular just issue, and you just feel like you can't get control over that issue in your life, well, you know, maybe you need to put up some guardrails. So having self-control is not just about, like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, bear down and power through this thing, and I'm just going to, you know, figure it out. I'm just going to stop doing this sin thing, or I'm going to start doing this thing, even though it's uncomfortable for me. It's not necessarily about that. You got to put some guardrails in place in order to help have self-control. So one of the areas that we talked about in our summer series was pornography. And that was an issue that, like, I don't know about you six specifically, but that was an issue that, like, teenagers in general struggle with a lot. And so maybe that's an issue that you have dealt with or are dealing with. In order to, like, have self-control over that, that's a self-control issue. And so how do you have self-control over that? Well, you set up some guardrails in your life. And if there's certain apps or certain things that, you know, like, would trigger you to go down that path, well, eliminate those things. Eliminate it before you get to that point, right? If it's taking your phone in your bedroom at night, you know, or if you're the last one awake in your house, you know, leave your phone out, you know, in the main areas of the house or whatever. If it's an app that's on your phone, delete the app, right? Get rid of it. Help eliminate that. Down the road, maybe, like, when you're a little bit, when you have started practicing and exercising self-control a little more, maybe you can allow yourself to have that app back. Or maybe you can allow yourself to do some of the things that were previously triggers for you, but you've developed, you've exercised that muscle, and you've become stronger in that area. And maybe you can get back to that one day, but to eliminate it to begin with, is to eliminate that temptation or that trigger is a good way to start. Finding somebody who can help keep you accountable. We talked about that, about various different issues, whether it's pornography or it's mental health issues or it's I struggle with depression or I'm struggling with whatever it is. If you can find somebody to help keep you accountable when you get to a point where you're like, you know, I feel my mind going down that road again. I'm starting to think this way. Okay, well, I can reach out to this person. I can call them or I can text them and just say, hey, you know, pray for me right now. Or maybe you meet up with them if it's really serious and you need to meet up with somebody. You know, find somebody that you can be open and honest with that will, you know, help keep you accountable to the thing that you have said originally. I want to have self-control in this area. And right now I'm struggling with that self-control. Can you help me in this area? And, you know, that person should be able to help you. You can find a replacement activity for these things. You know, if it's whatever the issue is, find a replacement activity. When you feel like, you know, I feel like I'm headed down that road again, okay, instead of doing that thing, cigarettes, pornography, you know, I'm my mind is starting to race about things that I can't control or whatever, you know, replace that with something else. Ideally, you know, open your Bible, start reading your Bible, and pray to God and just say, God, I'm struggling with this right now. You know, like, help me get my mind focused on something else. Help me get my mind focused on you instead of this other thing that I'm dealing with. So as you begin to, like, work these things out, that muscle will develop and it will strengthen. Just like when you like work out your physical body, right? You don't just do legs, you don't just do arms, you don't just do abs or back or whatever. You try to do whole body workouts so that your whole body is stronger. You do conditioning so your lungs and your ability, your endurance is better. It's the same way spiritually. Like, you can work out your love muscle or your joy muscle, or you can work those things out, but you can work out your self-control muscle, but you really need to be working on all of those things. And as you work those things out and as you practice those things and as you get better in those areas, you're going to become stronger, and it's going to be easier for you to have self-control over different areas of your life. And so as you work those things out, even thinking about, like, for Christians, like, what are some of the things that we're supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to read our Bible. Well, you don't start out by reading, you know, 12 chapters of Ezekiel, you know, day one, if you're just trying to learn how to read your Bible. We start with John, or we start with, you know, an easier book, 1 John. We start with 1 Samuel. You know, we start with books that are, like, a little bit easier to, like, get little things out of, and they're easier to read and easier to understand their stories. We read the Gospels, maybe. We start with easy things, and then we work our way up to harder things. Maybe we start with one proverb a day. That's all we can really handle at this time. You know, but if you're reading one proverb, you know, every, you know, a couple days a week, and you've been saved for 10 years, that's really not that great. You know, you should, by that point, you should be able to handle more reading than that. Prayer. Have any of you guys ever sat down and tried to pray for just like 5 straight minutes? Praying is difficult to do. Like, your mind starts wandering and you start thinking about other things, or you fall asleep, or, you know, you get distracted about what's going on tomorrow or later on today, or, you know, your stomach starts growling and you realize that you're hungry, or like whatever. It's very difficult to sit quietly, you know, by yourself and just pray for 5 straight. What do I even pray about? I don't even know. Like, let me try to think, who should I pray about? What should I pray about? Like, it can be difficult to pray for just 5 minutes. Hopefully, though, as you do that, okay, let me pray for just a minute or 2 minutes. Let me pray before I eat my meals. Let me pray before I read my Bible. You know, and you start exercising those things out, you should be able to pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? And one of the things I know, like, when I pray, if I'm trying to pray for, you know, not, like, when I'm praying to, when I start reading my Bible, usually I'm praying about what I'm going to be reading and, you know, praying for understanding and those kinds of things. But other times when I'm praying to, like, you know, prepare something, or praying to, you know, just to pray, like, my mind, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to pray about this one person or this one situation. And then my mind starts going through, like, that person. And, like, then I'm thinking about what other kind of people that are dealing with the same thing, or what other people do I need to be praying about? Sometimes God will just throw people, you know, I'll just, like, all of a sudden I'll think of someone I haven't thought about for a while. And, okay, no, I need to pray for that person. And so the more you do those things, the more that muscle is going to be exercised, the stronger you're going to get in that area. We talk about giving a lot. We talk about giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your treasure. Okay, those things, when you're a baby Christian, you know, like, people don't expect that you're going to be, you know, all out serving in ministry with your time and giving of your time, right? And people, they don't expect, hey, give a little bit of money until you can give a lot more, right? We don't expect baby Christians to be the ones financing all the things that are going on at the church. You know, like, start out small, right? For you guys, some of you guys have jobs, some of you guys don't have jobs. You know, start giving financially when the amounts of money are small. Oh, my paycheck's only $100. Well, it's only $10 of giving. It's a small amount, you know, and I don't have very much, so it's hard for me to give anything. Well, it's going to be very hard for you when that paycheck is $1,000 and now you have to give $100. So start when it's $10, start when it's $20, start when it's $1.50 or whatever the amount is. Start when it's small and develop the habit and develop the, like, work out that muscle. My very first job, I was making $5.15 an hour. I was making, I don't know, probably working 15 or 20 hours a week. So what is that? 20 hours a week would be $100 a week I was making, give or take. You know, I started tithing at that time. Just start giving. Brenda did the same thing whenever she was a teenager. And so when we got married, both of us were used to already giving 10% of our income. We didn't make very much money when we first got married. So it was, and we had already been giving. And so, you know, incrementally, as we got a little bit more money, a little bit more money, and then as we combined our money when we got married, it just, like, both of us were just like, yeah, we're giving 10%. Like, that wasn't even a question, because we've been working out that muscle for, you know, 4 or 5 years at that time in our life. And then as the money has increased and as the jobs have gotten better and the pay has gotten better, the giving has increased as well. Not because, you know, like, we just love giving, you know, 10% of all of our money. I mean, we do love giving it, but, like, that's not why we give it. We give it because we're supposed to give it, and we give it because God tells us, hey, it's good for us to be generous with our finances, generous with our time. And so those things develop over time. They take some time to do those things. We serve in a lot of different ministries. Some of you guys serve in ministries. Like, you know, it takes effort to give up of your time. Like, some of you guys work and you're in school and you have sports or band or whatever. You have a lot of things. You have family obligations. Like, I'm not saying you guys aren't busy. All of us are busy people. Different seasons we're busier than others, but still, you got to find time. We have to find time to be able to give back a percentage of our time. You know, it doesn't have to be 10%, but, you know, we should be giving. Maybe it's while you're already here at church, you can give and do. I know your door greeting situation. I still need to figure out why that hasn't happened yet. Nobody's talked to you yet about that? Okay. But yeah, you can door greet. You can work in the AV booth. You can, you know, there's things in this ministry that we're not doing currently that I would like to do. You know, if any of you guys high schoolers want to get involved in something, you know, here in our ministry. There's things to do. So it's just a matter of, you know, am I willing to give up a little bit of my free time, to give back to God? And so it's not all about giving necessarily, but all of these muscles that Christians have, these different areas of our life, it only gets stronger when we exercise it, when we do the thing in small amounts. When you start lifting weights, you don't start out with really heavy weights. You start out with light weights until you can get up to, build up to, the heavier weights. It's the same thing with our spiritual, body. We need to start out small and incrementally get stronger and better. If you work out for, you know, 5 years straight and you're working out, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, you're gonna be stronger, you know, than you were when you started. And so you shouldn't still be lifting the same weights that you were lifting 3 or 4 years ago. Spiritually speaking, you should be in a different state. You should have more self-control. You should be stronger in your giving, or you should be stronger in your prayer life. You should be stronger in your reading your Bible life, you know, because you exercise those muscles. And, it's about having self-control, like even physically, like exercise. It's about self-control. Like, you have to dedicate time to it. You have to set aside, okay, I am going to do this even when I'm tired, or even when I don't feel like it, or even when I'm a little bit sore, or even when dot, 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 whatever the thing is that keeps you from doing it. You have to decide ahead of time, I'm going to do this anyways, and I'm going to have the self-control and the discipline and the determination and whatever else it takes to do those things. It's the same way spiritually. I'm going to read my Bible even when I'm tired. I'm going to pray even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to give even when it doesn't make sense financially for me to give. I'm going to dot, 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 whatever the thing is. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. Jeez, it's 10:15 already. Yeah. Huh?
Verse 6.
Yeah, verse 6 is where it is, where we're going to be. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, but we're not going to read all that for now. Let's just look at, so he's talking to Christians, and he's talking about just this, what we're talking about, developing attributes of our spiritual life. So like in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we get saved because we put our faith in Christ, right? And then his grace allows us to be saved. But so we're starting with a foundation of faith, and then we're going to add to that virtue. We're going to add to that these like elements of morality, and we're going to add to this element of virtue, and then we're going to add to that virtue once we've put our faith in Christ, and we've decided we're going to have we want these character qualities that are honoring to God. Then we're going to add to that knowledge. Okay, how do we do that? What does the Bible say about my sin? What does the Bible say about, you know, these different areas of my life? I need to gain the knowledge. I've committed already to trying to be virtuous. So now I need to know what those virtues are, how to gain them, how to avoid the bad things. So I need knowledge. And then I have to add to that knowledge temperance. Once I know the information, now I need to implement an element of self-control and moderation in my life so that I can take on those things in small pieces and ways that I can actually apply them. Not trying to dive in and say, I'm just going to do all of this. I want all the Christian stuff. I want to be as much like Christ as I can. I'm going to dive in. You're going to burn out so fast on that. You have to do it in small steps. You have to have the self-control to know that, okay, 5 years from now, this is the type of person I want to be. So today I have to do these little things. I have to apply this one little nugget that I heard at church today. I have to apply this one little nugget that I learned from reading my Bible. I have to do these little things to develop this temperance. And then we're going to add to temperance patience. It doesn't happen overnight. None of this stuff happens overnight. We have to be patient. Okay, we have to take the elements that we want to implement in our life. We have to start taking baby steps, and we have to realize we're not going to see results tomorrow. We're probably not going to see results next week, or maybe even next month. But like, if you're dealing with a sin issue in your life, and you start implementing the things that I'm talking about, like reading your Bible, replacing that sin with something else, getting an accountability person and putting that in your life, it may not make a difference tomorrow or the next day. But 6 months from now, you're going to look back and see, wow, look how different I am than when I was there. It's like with a baby or a puppy, or, you know, like we get these, you know, a little baby, And, you know, you don't notice them when you see them every day growing. But when you see a picture from them like 3 months ago, you're like, holy cow, this baby was so much smaller then. Look how much he or she has grown. Or a puppy, same thing. Like they change over time. And when you're with them every day, you don't really notice it because it's so small. But when you step back and you look at pictures or something from, you know, a few days or weeks or months or years ago, you notice how fast they change. We have to be patient with ourselves in the way that we're going to change. You're not going to go from this person who has this sin stronghold in your life to this person who's, you know, living perfectly, you know, overnight. It's going to take time. So we have to be patient. We have to add patience to our temperance. And then it says, and to patience, verse 6, and to patience, godliness. Okay, we have to desire to be more like Christ and know that that's going to take time. And we have to be more holy and more godly in the way that we live our life. And then we're going to add to that brotherly kindness. We're going to try to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are going to try to not just deal with these people who, in, you know, our life who are difficult, even though they're Christians. We're going to try to love that person the way that Christ loves them. That doesn't mean that we're going to be best friends with everybody in our church or in our, you know, in our circle. But, you know, like, we should have brotherly kindness. We should understand, okay, God loves this person. This person is designed to fit a particular role in our church or whatever. And, you know, God has a purpose for them just like he does for me. And we don't have to get along and be best friends, but we do have to not, like, fight with each other. We do have to, you know, be able to work together in some ways. And then we're going to add to that brotherly kindness charity, which is love. That's it's the same Greek word as the first fruit of the Spirit. So once we add all of these things, verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay, so somebody who has these different character qualities in their life is somebody that's going to be fruitful. Somebody who doesn't have these characteristics, it's saying that they're blind. If you don't have these characteristics in your life, it's not that you're physically blind, obviously, but you're blind to the things that God has done in your life. Like, the fact that God saved us from our old sins, man, we should be a little bit more gracious with people whenever they're dealing with sin in their life. Because it's like, well, okay, I used to struggle with this particular sin myself. And so, I understand where you're at, and let me help you. Can I be of help to you? Can I help keep you accountable? Can I tell you what worked for me? Can I share my testimony with you? Okay, and having a different perspective, the perspective that God has, not our own perspective. Okay. We gotta pray. We're gonna be late. Sorry for going over. Dear God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for just this message on temperance. And God, it is something that certainly does not come naturally to our physical body. God, we do not want to have control of it. We want our flesh to have control over us. And God, it is difficult daily to make the decision not to allow our flesh to have control over us. So God, help all of us as we deal with and struggle with this idea of being temperate and just having control of our mind and control of our body. And God, help us when we're struggling with sin in our life, whatever that is. It may be different for all of us, God, but I just pray that you help us as we struggle with sin in our life, that you would help us to just remember that we are in control of our decisions, God. Our flesh wants what it wants, but if we're saved, God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we do not have to give in to our flesh. We do not have to do what it wants. We don't have to make it comfortable. God, we can live in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit, and God, we can overcome those things, and we can have control over our flesh and not the other way around. And so I just thank you for that reminder and for that challenge that is, God. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but I pray as we try to strengthen those muscles in our life, God, as we try to develop those things by working them out daily, that you would just be faithful to do those things and help us to see progress in those areas. And so, God, I just thank you and praise you for everything you do for us. I pray for this upcoming week as we've got Mission Focus and the lock-in and volleyball starts. And God, it's just a busy week that we're headed into. We got a new year that we're kicking off later this week. God, I just pray that you'd help us to just have a good week and just be intentional about all the different things that we're doing and maybe family that we're still going to be seeing and things like that. God, I pray that you would just help us to be lights as we endeavor to go forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.